Good afternoon, everyone. I pray that the Lord is really strengthening you and encouraging you. What a beautiful day we had this morning. On Tuesday morning, I looked outside my office window and it was just glorious, the sunshine. God has given us some beautiful weather to worship Him, to adore Him. It just makes such a difference when we look around us outside and can thank God for the goodness that He sends to us every day in so many different ways. God is good to us, and it makes a difference in giving us encouragement that God is at work in our lives and that God cares for us. We continue to pray that the Lord will strengthen you and fill every one of us with His grace and His peace during these days. Today I wanted us to look together at a very encouraging passage of Scripture. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. And it speaks to us of the all-sufficiency of God's grace at work in our lives. Before I read the scripture, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the all-sufficient grace of the Holy Spirit at work in us through calamities, through difficulties, through trials. We thank You, God, that our life is filled with Your goodness, goodness won for us through the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, grace and goodness that nothing can remove from us or take away. Help us through this passage to tap in to Your all-sufficient grace in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10 reads, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong.'" One day I was in trouble, feeling trouble, oppressed by many different things, and it was one of those days when nothing seemed to be going right in my life. And even when I was trying to have devotions that morning, these troubles, these difficulties, stress points were really interrupting my being absorbed in praise and prayer to God, and in the study of His Word, to really absorb His truth, to fortify my heart. But suddenly the Holy Spirit brought these verses to my heart and mind, and it overwhelmed me with strength and joy in the Lord. "My grace is sufficient for you," God says, "for My power is perfected in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." For me, these verses have been many times in my trouble and distress an oasis of spiritual refreshment from the Lord to me. And as I digest this passage and absorb it, it becomes a source of strength and healing for me, and I trust it will be for you as well. So the Lord, in this passage, tells us that he sovereignly matches the depth of our need with the all-sufficiency of his grace. That's the first and really most important truth to take away with you from this passage, that God's grace reaches down to the deepest points of our need, that there's no hole that is deeper than God's grace cannot lift us up and draw us up out of that. The Greek word here for thorn is a powerful word. It is the word for, in Greek, skoplos. And it's not just a little rosy thorn. It's more like a stake. And so what the Apostle Paul is saying in this passage, and he's admitting honestly, is that I was given a thorn in the flesh that was a problem of major proportions, like a stake thrust into my body. So this is a very difficult problem. This is a very difficult harassment from Satan that God sovereignly permitted the Apostle Paul to go through. Now, when the Apostle Paul in verse 10 summarizes this thorn, which is also called weaknesses, he uses four words to detail what these weaknesses are that summarize his thorn. And the first word is insults. Now, what does that mean? Insults would be cleverly devised, unkind things that people can do to make you feel in your faith, to make you feel in your circumstances, to make you feel that your words, your faith, your temperament, your circumstances of life devalue you and diminish your worth before God. Insults intended to damage you. Insults depended to deconstruct your life. Those are weaknesses. The second is hardships. Well, what are they? Hardships would be any circumstance in life that has you trapped. Hardships would be circumstances in your life and you wonder, how in the world did I get here? Turmoil, trial, stress, loss of loved ones, loss of work, worries about our spouse, worries about our children, things that we are having a very difficult time dealing with, hardships. Persecutions would be things that other people do to us, to wound us, to afflict us, to discourage us, to dismantle us in our faith in Christ and our commitment in the Christian life. And calamities are pressures that weigh us down. Now, the Apostle Paul does not say in detail specifically what this thorn in the flesh did, but he describes it as insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. These weaknesses are not sins. These weaknesses are not imperfections in his behavior. These weaknesses are things, if we could change them, we would. And the Apostle Paul points out here, well, where do these weaknesses come from? Where does this thorn come from? It comes from Satan. He harasses us. He afflicts us to thwart God's purposes in our lives, which ultimately he can never do, but he tries. The aim of Satan's thorns, the aim of these weaknesses, is to inflict maliciousness on us, is to destroy us, is to twist everything good that God is doing in our lives. And Satan will send his messengers to afflict us. This could have been perhaps Paul's poor eyesight. It could have been his back ailments. Could have been any number of things, persecutions from others. But the point of these weaknesses is Satan means evil. But that's not all we can say about these thorns and weaknesses. The greatest thing we can say is that they're under God's control. Is that God ultimately permits these weaknesses, this thorn in Paul's life, for the purpose of humbling Paul and preventing pride from suffocating his close fellowship with God and his fruitfulness in his ministry. Read later the first six verses. Paul had great revelations that could have caused him to become proud. So God permitted Satan to give him these thorns, these persecutions, these calamities to sanctify Paul, to spare him from a proud heart that would have diminished his usefulness for the Lord. So while Satan intends evil from the thorns, God intends redemption from the thorns to make us closer to him and more useful to him. Now, another takeaway from this devotion is this, and that is that our greatest need is not escape from our weaknesses. Our greatest need is not escape from our thorn, although we wish for that, we might wish for that. Our greatest need is a strong confidence in God that he is glorifying the power and love and beauty and grace of Jesus Christ through the thorns and weaknesses in our lives. They promote us to a deeper level of humility before God and fruitfulness. They will ultimately not harm us. They will only help us spiritually. They are constructive. So how do we tap into God's grace, God's all-sufficient grace? First, a great source of God's grace in the midst of your thorn is to immerse yourself in the Word of God. Let me just read this verse from Psalm 119:92. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. You see what the thorn and weakness does? It drives us deeper into God's Word if we approach it in faith. I've known people in my ministry, and I've experienced it myself, when it seems as if all the support around us is gone, we are driven to God's Word. God's Word becomes our compass that gives us orientation and strength and hope. And we say to ourselves, I would not have gotten this far by God's grace without His Word. The second thing is prayer. We're told in Hebrews 4:16 that we are to come before God's throne of grace to receive mercy to help in time of need. Some commentators say that time of need means in the nick of time. In other words, when we go to God in prayer, He pours out the comfort. He pours out the strength. He pours out the wisdom that navigates us through the difficulties so that we're reminded of God's power. We're reminded of God's grace. And like the fog burns through the sun burns through the fog, rather, so that you can see the landscape, prayer burns through the fog of trial so that we can see the glory and power of God. Then thirdly, a great source of grace is to encourage one another. Brothers and sisters, in these times, grace is found also by encouraging one another. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such as is useful to give grace, to build one another up. A word of strength, a word of comfort, a word of encouragement. No matter where you stand on your opinions about the coronavirus, don't let it come between you and your brothers and sisters in Christ. Encourage one another, comfort one another, strengthen one another. So tap into God's grace, the word, prayer, encouragement. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your all-sufficient grace and mercy. Lord God, we pray that you would fill us afresh, wash over us with the grace of Christ that is greater than our struggles and the thorn we have in our life. Lord God, we pray that we would, above all, want to become more confident in you, that you would glorify your grace and power through our weaknesses. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.